Hello Mzanzi, you are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzanzi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by One IFRA, and that's of course the Global Organization for the World's Press. I'm your host, Duncan Masiwa, and welcome episode 484. Now in this episode, we sit down with Barry Shiva, co-owner of Foundation Farm, a family-run dairy in Wienen, KwaZulu-Natal. Now, from humble beginnings with just 20 cows in 1990, the Shiva family has built a thriving operation, now caring for nearly 2,000 cows and supplying top brands like Nestle, Douglas Day, and Dairyland. Barry shares their journey of grit, perseverance, and family unity that he believes turned their small start into a flourishing enterprise. We also dive into the challenges they faced, their innovative strategies for herd management, and the role of technology in ensuring their farm's success. Barry, welcome to Farmers Inside Track. It's lovely having you with us.
Thank you, Duncan.
Now, you and I met a few weeks back in the Western Cape when you were attending Dairy Awards. In fact, you were one of the winners that day. Maybe just for those who might not be familiar with the competition, what was the name of that competition again?
It's the Master Dairyman's Award.
It's quite an honor to be recognized on such a high level. So once again, congratulations to you. For those who might not know you, tell us a bit about Foundation Farm and what exactly it is that you guys get up to there.
As you mentioned earlier, Alan and Francis Webster, they started Foundation Farm back in 1990. They had just a handful of cows. They were milking 20 cows that they had registered from the start. They have a very interesting story of long, hard roads at that stage where they had to sell cheese and milk to make ends meet. Nobody, no processors were willing to collect that milk at that stage. It just wasn't enough. So I think it taught them some valuable lessons and were able to pull through it. And then much later, when the volume was up, they were only able then to start sending milk to Nestle and so on.
Now, I'm sure getting started couldn't have been easy. Maybe take us through some of those significant hurdles that were experienced starting out, whether it be from a financial perspective or an operational perspective.
Largely, one of the beauties with a family business is often there's been a generation that was probably trading as a sole proprietor at that stage that did a lot of the foundation work and were able to get the business established. Certainly for us, that's how it's been. And I think that's where the idea of joining a family business is to be able to grow that pot and take it to the next level. Yes, the hard work and the operational side of things were largely done by the founding members. The system ran and it got to the stage of now, okay, what do you do next? It's becoming too big for a couple to run. And we were able then to take it and we changed it from an individual's name to a company, Foundation Farm, and we joined on. I think it's important in that process, especially being a family business, it's important to get professional advice. There's a lot of people out there that offer advice on succession planning and how to gear these type of businesses. And I think one's got to treat it like a business and have things written down, documented, and quite clear so that there's no misunderstanding and confusion. It's all out there, documented, and you always have a third party member to lean on chair events or meetings and work through problems. But I think if the family can share a common vision, a common goal, everybody's willing to make those sacrifices to get to where you want to be. And I think everybody in the system's also got to understand that in these family businesses, everybody has a vulnerability. The people who started it, many sacrifices to get it to there. The next generation often comes in a lot more fortunate that it won't be as hard as it was for the previous generation. But then with that becomes other challenges of the growth and the responsibility. And family businesses are difficult, but there's no reason they can't work if you have your team around you to make it work.
That's quite true, you know, sort of the challenges being different generation to generation. If we had to stay there for a quick second, Barry, what would you say are the challenges that you are facing as the current generation in the farming operation?
A big challenge that a lot of us dairy farmers are faced with now is you have to remain competitive. You'd see a lot of the small dairies are closing down. One has to have big numbers to be able to remain competitive, have more efficient cost control over your business. And with that, it becomes managing and being able to lift people and working with people. So a lot of us were quite comfortable in managing cows, for instance, and working around cows, where suddenly when you've thrown these new challenges of motivating people, I think a lot of us realize that there's a lot of skill in that and you have to better yourself to be able to grow a team that you can rely on. You can't do a lot of those things that you used to do on your own and feel like, you know, you've done the job. You've got to rely on the people around you.
Sounds to me like you came into the process quite late in terms of the farm. Out of all the things that you could have done with your life, Barry, why agriculture? Why dairy farming?
Duncan, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I studied agriculture. I always loved farming. It's in my blood. I really enjoy agri. I got tremendous experience when I left Vast. I worked for a citrus co-op up in Nelspruit for a while, which I learned a huge amount of business skills, and it really opened my vision substantially. But when I gave them my notice to say that I'm leaving the citrus and I'm going back to dairy industry, one of the directors said to me, "Gee, Barrett, what happened? Did you lose a bet or something?" It is, it's long, hard work, and there's a lot to it, but there's so much reward in watching the growth and watching things come together. It's really been very nice watching the animal numbers go, and as the numbers come up, you're able to do more things and make your systems more efficient, which is very rewarding.
You talk about making your systems more efficient. What are some of the strategies, Barry, that you've implemented to help ensure your dairy farming business thrive? We talked about the challenges that the previous generations faced on the farm, the challenges that you are now facing. I'm sure there's been successes. What are some of those strategies that you've implemented to get you to some of those successes?
I think one's got to have your core goals set right and make sure you stick to them and work. You know, we've chosen high quality milk, high milk solids, milk Jersey breed, and we want to continue breeding better and better animals. So we have stuck to that, and it's something that you can't just chop and change overnight. I think you've got to stick to those principles and go with it. A big factor, and we are fortunate to have them available in many industries, are study groups. We belong to a study group, which is very useful. You learn a lot from the dairy farmers around you. You can pick up on farm visits. You pick up interesting things all the time. It's also a nice way to bench yourself year on year, but it also helps you see areas where, sure, you know, you might have thought you're doing quite well, and actually you realize there's a lot of room for improvement. So I definitely think one should consider looking at study groups and just keep you motivated to moving forward.
You know, Barry, dairy farming can be highly technology intensive. What does it look like on your farm? What role does technology or innovation play in the success of your dairy farm?
Duncan, we are very fortunate with technology now. Years ago, you'd have to, for a vet run, you'd go and manually sort your cows on the groups and to see the vet every few weeks. And nowadays, with the dairy programs, you just type out the number on the computer and it'll automatically sort her separate from the herd. The computer monitors the production daily in the parlors. So they've got milk production, the weight gain, cows are fed individually. So you get better performance from those cows at different stages of their lactation. Technology has been a critical part for us, and I think it will continue to be. We always more technology out there to improve on things. We make use of VSD drives for Eskom efficiency on our pumps. Obviously, dairy technology, as we mentioned earlier, and then irrigation probes have been very useful to monitor and apply the right amount of water at the right time. And on equipment and machinery, there's a lot of technology out there. We've been a bit slower on that aspect. I think it wasn't the top of the priority list, but it will definitely get there. And security technology, even on security, managing your patrols and things has come a long way. You know, there's many devices out there now that you can track personnel on the security rounds and watch more closely what's happening, instead of where previously you would be middle of the night randomly arriving to see the people are actually doing what they should be and people on duty and whatnot. Now you can, from your cell phone, just see, okay, yeah, your personnel are, if they've got a problem, they can easily get back to you too.
It's quite inspiring to see where technology is taking not just the agricultural sector, but other sectors as well. And I think definitely the power of technology is definitely being displayed in the agricultural sector. It's good to hear that there in your corner of the world in KZN, that technology is also playing quite a big part of your operation. Let's talk about markets. You mentioned briefly in the beginning some of the markets that you supply. How do you navigate market demands and also pricing? I understand that within the dairy industry, it's quite challenging when it comes to specifically pricing. What's your take on that and how do you navigate that?
Yes, the dairy industry is largely a price taker. So the most control we have is watching our costs and making sure we are efficient on our cost side of the structure. To an extent, we've tried to mitigate our volatility of prices by our spread with the different processes. You know, fresh milk's often got a much more volatile price. They're quick to pick up their price when there's a shortage, and they're quick to drop it when there's a surplus. The guys like Nestle, for instance, who have more powder and skim milk, they're far less volatile, so they tend to drop their prices a little bit slower and also be a bit slower at ramping up their prices when there's a shortage. So I think to an extent one can do that, but it's always more or less market-related across the board. Just they're a bit slower, some at reacting than others, which does help your cash flow for that period.
If I were to ask you, what have been some of the most valuable lessons that you've learned in dairy farming? I'm sure there's been a couple of costly mistakes that you've made. Take us through some of those.
You very quickly learn that in dairy farming, and I think it's probably true for every industry, you must always have a plan B. We, a few years ago, 2 years now, we bought a neighboring farm and we planted a lot of our own maize silage on there, but we still had stock, so we chose to take the risk and not insure our maize. And that year we got wiped out totally on the silage. The hail wiped us out on the pastures. And so one's got to always make sure that you are able to feed your animals quickly. If you drop the ball and you don't respond to these curveballs that come at you quickly, it costs you dearly. It will take you much more than a year to recover from that lack of food if you're having to buy in food and you don't meet the nutritional requirements that those cows need. So one must always make sure that you've got a little bit of a buffer to help fill a gap where there is and try and stay away from being on the edge if at all possible.
There is a tough space at the moment, Barry. For those that do want to explore opportunities within the dairy industry, what advice would you give to someone considering that?
There's quite a few points that one must consider, but maybe one of the more critical is if they're going to be putting in infrastructure and buying in cows to stock that farm, I think they must be extremely careful and make sure that they have a local vet involved. They know the history of those animals. Vaccination programs have been done correctly and on time. It can be a very risky business bringing in cows that you don't know the full history, that possibly haven't received their CAE vaccines, for instance. And, you know, when you take cows from one area to another, you often have massive challenges with tick-borne diseases. The environmental pressures are different, so those cows have to settle and become accustomed to those environments, and it can be a very costly exercise. So when you're going to take that move, I think make sure you have a good team around you. You know what some of those challenges are going to be, and you rely on the professionals to help you through it.
Barry, from 20 cows in 1990 to about 2,000 now in 2024, what are your long-term goals for your dairy farming operation?
I'm going to go into short-term for the start and then onto long-term. But short to medium-term, with that rapid growth, we know we've got some efficiencies to prove on still. There's areas that we could capitalize on that we're probably missing out. Making sure that our cow comfort is as best as we can have it, I think it's an important thing to do. So we currently looking at putting up shedding and fans to just help with those hot summers that we have. So I think short term, get our efficiencies right, get our systems right, and make sure that we have ourselves in a position that should opportunities come up, that long term we can respond to replicating our systems and taking it forward.
Barry, I ask this question often to farmers within different commodities, and it's always interesting to hear the responses. You know, as a dairy farmer in South Africa, how are you preparing for the future?
You can see it really with the multinational companies. I do think the dairy industry is going to be watched more and more closely with the global warming and environmental impacts. I think internationally, it's definitely in the spotlight. Even with Nestle, they've started implementing things that incentivize us as farmers to become more carbon conscious, to look at things like solar, correct agronomy practices, mixed species pastures, all to try and reduce carbon footprints. And I think in this world today we live in, there will definitely be more pressure along those lines. We'll have to be more responsible and make sure that we optimize our systems by having good soil organic carbon, high multi-species pastures, for instance, to improve your carbon footprint. Look at things like solar on your roofs, energy efficiency. So I think there's a lot out there and there's always going to be a lot of change.
That was, of course, Barry Shiva, co-owner of Foundation Farm. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodfromzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss any of the episodes. For me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.